George Kritikos here to talk to you about the Player Rater podcast. Along with co-host Ryan McDowell, we leverage the DLF player valuation tools and help inform you on your dynasty roster strategies. Whether you're joining a new startup, rebuilding a team, or maybe you're just not quite at contention level yet, we help you understand player values and how to really drive your team forward as dynasty owners. Tune in and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. Thanks for joining us here at the Crossroads this week. My name's Peter Howard at PA Howdy on Twitter. I'm here with Jake Anderson at Jake Anderson FF on Twitter, and we talk about one player every week from both a film and a metrics perspective.
You're getting some outtakes right now, though. That's good.
You're at the Dynasty Crossroads that film and analytics create. The Dynasty Crossroads that film and analytics create. Peter crunches numbers and Jake just grinds that.
This week has been absolutely fantastic for us. For the second week in a row, Jake has just lucked in, let's face it, to a great call. He was all in on James Conner the week before. He was all in on Philip Lindsay last week. And both of them performed even better after he's come in on them while talking about it on this podcast. So he's very high on himself as well in general. We will try to drag him down a little bit this week as we talk about someone else.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. It's so funny. We spend all this time off season trying to predict what's going to happen, and every year it's just we get kind of slapped in the face, and here we are just trying to pick up the pieces again and realizing where we went wrong and where we went right. And you gotta keep making trades. You gotta keep trying to get better. You know, I think it's so easy if you get off to a rough start in your fantasy and dynasty leagues that you get disinterested, but for me, you just got to keep grinding and just see that things are going to change. You know, your players are going to bounce back. Your players are going to underperform from where they've started this far. You know, the first couple weeks are great kind of insight to how things may go, but things fluctuate through the season. So I'm just excited football's back. And honestly, last week, if Russell Wilson didn't have just an awful game, I would have won in all 8 of my dynasty leagues. So I lost in one narrowly, the one that I co-own with our good buddy Bobby Koch, because of Russell Wilson. So he's kind of he's on my down and outs right now. But other than that, I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. I'm excited football's back.
Everyone's a winner when Tyler Boyd is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And I think we all feel that way, obviously. Who are we talking about this week before we get too far into trash-talking each other?
Sure. So we talked about James Conner 2 weeks ago. We talked about Philip Lindsay. And this week we're going to talk about probably the most talked about running back that's especially on waivers in redraft leagues in Matt Breida, San Francisco's own. Obviously, Jerick McKinnon got hurt this preseason, out for the year, signed a decently big contract. That running back was kind of up for grabs. They brought in Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris has been pretty disappointing thus far. And then all of a sudden, Matt Breida jumps on the scene with a huge game last week. Over 130 yards, and now he is the NFL's leading rusher in yards, which just speaks volumes to how unprecedented this running back start has been across the league. But yeah, we're going to talk about Matt Breida.
Yeah, and I think most people might assume or think we might talk about Patrick Mahomes, since he is now the golden god of fantasy football and another player I'm really excited about in 2018. But I think obviously lots of people are talking about Patrick Mahomes right now. And while there is lots of interesting things to say about him, including how he's perfect and will never go wrong, mostly because of the nightmare that is the running back position and the number of people who were leaning in to the one-year trend of running backs being good. Last year, I need a laugh track because I'm just trolling the hell out of heavy running back drafters right now, like the one sitting across from me. running back's just a more desperate position. And so even in a super flex or a 2QB league, you're probably more likely desperately trying to find a running back than you are a quarterback. So that's why we chose to go with Matt Breida, or that's the reason I just made up right now, at least. Do you want me to lead off talking about him from a metric standpoint, or do you want to take what you've seen on film and talk about how great Matt Breida is clearly going to be?
Why don't I start off from a film standpoint? Matt Breida was an undrafted guy coming out of Georgia Southern. Funnily enough, that's exactly where Jerick McKinnon played his college ball, in the same backfield there. It's kind of similar players as far as, he's a little bit undersized. I think he's 5'10", 190 and change.
5'9".
Okay, we have him at 5'10 on DLF, but he's...
Yeah, last week you were looking for another dominant rusher at 190 pounds under 5'10", and here he is. Here he is, Jake. You must be excited about him after your boy Philip Lindsay now leads the Broncos in.
I can tell that you really are trying to steer my story into a narrative straight for all of your Breida shares, but
I'm desperately trying to force you towards the truth.
All right, so getting back to Matt Breida tested out at his pro day, and I have those numbers here if for all you guys that like those athletic measurables. At his pro day, he had a 4.37 40 yard dash. He had a 42 inch vert. He had an 11-foot, 2-inch broad, and he benched 225 23 times. So he was first in 40-yard dash. He was first in vertical. He was first in broad jump, and he was third in 225 reps for all running backs last year. So this is a guy that a lot of people were, kind of keeping an eye on last year. He did have some good games last year, but just going back to his college tape and kind of how he performed last year and then obviously what we've seen this year, he's a little bit of a conundrum because Breida is a guy that does show good vision. He follows his blockers well. He does show patience when he needs to. He hits hole when he needs to. This guy is a player that is extremely good in space and when he has running lanes. I think he's fantastic on sweeps and pitches and tosses. He can get to the corner really well. He's phenomenal in space. He's very agile. He can make people miss when he has room to make them miss. He's not a great in-between the tackles runner. That's not really where he's comfortable. He's not extremely powerful either. And the thing is why he kind of reminds me of Ronald Jones is they're kind of similar players where they're both really explosive. They're both really good in the open field. Neither of them are super powerful. And they're both not known for being pass catchers. Obviously Ronald Jones didn't catch the ball at all in college. Matt Breida did not catch the ball much at all. I think he had 22 catches in 3 years at Georgia Southern. He had the second most drops among running backs last year with 6. So from what I've seen on film, he's not extremely comfortable in that regard. And that's the problem with him and Ronald Jones is they're type of backs that if they were really good pass catchers, I'd be so much more excited about their outlook. But the fact that they're not, I think, limits their upside. So Breida is a guy that if the situation is good and the blocking is really good and he can get enough touches, I think he has a chance to really perform. But I have quite a bit of hesitation just because of his lack of receiving ability and that he is still sharing the load there with Alfred Morris.
Okay, where to start with Matt Breida? Let's just start with the reception problem that you have. One thing I can tell you, or one benefit to being able to say that college running back production does not translate very evenly, or there is no great trend between what they do in the NFL and what they do in college. The same way I talk about wide receivers, at least, is being able to fade those things when they're clearly not true. And I think Matt Breida's receptions in college is one of those things we can fade. For example, the most receptions he ever caught for his college team was 8.9% of their overall receptions at Georgia. That's pretty low, and he never, that's the highest he ever had. He went 5.1% and then 7.5% the next 2 years. So he was never much of a receiver at Georgia. And like I said, his total numbers topped out at, 22 receptions, Do you know how many receptions he had in 2017, his first year as an NFL running back?
You know what? I had those pulled up, if you give me 1 second.
That's all right. I've got them. Oh, I was just perfect. Wondering. Because I was setting you up to knock you down.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You're making it. Making
it's very sweet no problem. Of you.
In 2017, yeah, I'm a joy to talk to. Just wonderful. Yeah, he had 21 receptions in 2017 while operating as, at best, a running back 3 on the team. So I think those receptions in college are kind of misleading. Now, he was terrible, frankly, on those receptions. And as I think you're probably going to mention from having watched them a lot, he drops a lot of balls, right? But so does Mike Evans, and everyone loves Mike Evans unjustly. You know, the case of the drop, having a case of the drops can come and go. And the fact that he's already surpassed his total receptions in the NFL compared to college says that that might have been a function of Georgia much more than it was what much more than it is a function of what Matt Breida does on a football field or what he earns in terms of opportunity on a football field.
Yeah, just to touch on the drops thing, I think that's a thing that we talk about with wide receivers a lot, and I think drops get overplayed for wide receivers. But the problem is, I don't agree with that with running backs, because the passes that they're getting are so close to the yard of scrimmage. So Matt Breida's ADOT last year was under 2 yards. So 1.9 yards per pass attempt. So as far as depth of target. So when you have a 56% catch rate, when your ADOT is 1.9 yards, I think that's extremely scary.
His ADOT so far this year is at 5.8, which is actually pretty far down the field. If I can look quickly, it's actually pretty similar to George Kittle, for example.
He has 4 catches this year, Peter.
I'm working 4 hard catches. For Matt Breida here. I am.
Come on now. You're grasping
well,
for straws.
Well, I'm not the only one. San Francisco's grasping for straws, too. Well, the main thing I care about for a running back in the NFL is volume, pretty much. And Matt Breida's competition is Alfred Morris. And while Alfred Morris is solid and probably underrated, Matt Breida's week 2 may help San Francisco look at him as a 23-year-old they've got on the roster, and they might want to see more from him. On a team that's lost Goodwin, at least for 1 week, lost Jerick McKinnon, is really trying to find itself on offense, I wouldn't think it's out of the question that they're going to give him some volume and see what he can do with more touches. And like you say, in space, at least, in these certain situations where he's excelling on the field.
I don't necessarily think that it's reaching. My whole hang up in, I think you're trying to justify a little bit about his ability to be influential in the passing game. I understand that there aren't a whole lot of weapons in that offense, but I think that really does limit his upside. But again, if his volume jumps up a decent amount, then that's something to behold. But one of my bigger issues is week 1 he faced Minnesota, who has a good rush defense, didn't really do a whole lot there. And the thing is, Alfred Morris and Breida have got the same amount of carries the last 2 weeks. And then he faces the team that's given up the most rushing yards in the league, in the Detroit Lions last week. And he has a monster run. He has a 66-yard run. So for me, I think that's a little bit flawed. And then the next thing is this week, and I think you have to make up your mind on these players and be very decisive if it's a buy or sell period for these guys. The Chiefs have only surrendered 15 rush attempts the last 2 games. So I don't think he's going to get volume there, and I still think he's going to be splitting carries. And I think the Chiefs are going to get up really early in that game, and it's not going to be a good game script. So I think all this momentum that Breida is carrying after, you know, leading the league in rushing right now, this is the time to sell. Because I did see on DLF that someone did trade a 19 first for Breida yesterday. So for me, this is the time to get out. All right, we're going to take a short break to get a message from our sponsors. Are you tired of getting crushed by the pros? DFS players and sport bettors, listen up. TheQuantEdge.com has the tools you need to play like a pro. With our lineup optimizer, injury tool, wide receiver cornerback matchups, and the head-to-head tool, you'll be armed with everything you need to win. Make up to 150 lineups in seconds, see matchups to exploit, and compare players to help you make the right decisions you're on the fence about at thequantedge.com. You'll get exclusive access to industry experts, articles, podcasts, and the TQE community by participating in the premium membership chat. We at Dynasty Crossroads have a special deal for our loyal listeners. Using promo code CROSSROADS, you get $10 off your first month. Go to thequantedge.com to sign up today.
Okay, and welcome back.
Yeah, I think from a dynasty perspective, sure. If you are not trying to win, sure. But I don't know. If you're looking for an in-season running back right now, I think Matt Breida's as good as it's turned up on the waiver wire. I would agree that Lindsey had more positive things from his college profile, but they're not dissimilar sizes. I'd say their situations are fairly similar as well. Well, there's another running back who is capable on the depth chart. One's a veteran, one's also a rookie, but we expect them to be more solid as a pure rusher maybe, or more durable maybe as a pure rusher. And so I think their situations are similar. And even though we're higher on Lindsey's skill set in college production, Matt Breida's easily got the same opportunity in front of him, and probably, I think, with a smarter coaching staff, could even get better opportunity in terms of where they try and target him or when they try and run him. And so I don't know. I would want to, if you're interested, and I think most teams are right now, they need a running back two, if not a running back one. Breida's an interesting Philip Lindsey light.
they face the Chiefs. I just said that the Chiefs haven't given up anything as far as volume in the passing game or the rushing game, and partially is because they've been up early on both the teams they face, and I think that's going to happen again. And the problem, the difference I see, and I think there are some correlations with Lindsey and Breida, especially from a situation standpoint. The problem I have is I think Lindsey's a better interior rusher, and he's a far superior receiver. So for me, those are two trump cards that he does have on Breida, even though Breida might be in a better situation as far as coaching and maybe even have a little bit more opportunity. But I think the game scripts are not going to be good for this week. And I think if he flops this week, which I think is definitely in the range of outcomes, I think he's going to lose all that hype that he just had.
The other thing you were doing was looking at the schedule, mm-hmm. who they faced and who they haven't faced. And that's where a little bit of week two certainty, you know, we've seen two games now, so we feel more confident than we did after like week one, is still a problem. Like, we're still expecting a hell of a lot to change week to week, especially after just 2 weeks of data. Looking at Kansas City, his matchup this week, they've given up 20.25 fantasy points to the wide receiver one in targets. They've given up 21.55 or 21 points to the running back one in targets, which was Matt Breida last week for San Francisco, through 2 weeks. Now, again, to put the caveat in here, I'm putting rose-colored glasses on because I think a lot of teams have...
Kansas City has given up the sixth fewest rush yards this year, and the team that the 49ers are facing next week, which is the Los Angeles Chargers, have given up the 14th least rush yards, and I know it's a small sample, but I think that definitely plays into it. But then the thing is, the 49ers face the Cardinals in a couple weeks, in 3 weeks. And I think that's where I think Breida's going to – value is going to fall off. So if you are a believer in Breida, I think the better play would actually wait a couple weeks, let his steam fall, and then buy him before that Cardinals game, because I think he's got an opportunity there. But even so – let's say you own Breida, I think that after the Cardinals game might be a good selling opportunity, because guess what? After that, he's got the Packers, who have been a good rush defense, and then he's got the Rams, which are a really stingy rush defense. The Rams have given up the fifth least amount of rush yards. Packers, I guess, are 18th, so they're kind of middle of the road there. But I just don't see the possibility of his value rising over the next 6 weeks or so. So for me, buy high, is not the way to go here. I think he's a sell candidate for sure.
Note that I get a lot more aggressive, especially in my trolling of Jake, when I have less to back it up on. I try and win a lot more on, you know, my rhetoric. So it's pretty obvious I'm doing that. And I am. Breida has less in his profile that I like. I would be more interested in Lindsay. I've said that, and I'm going to keep saying that. It's not inconceivable to me that Matt Breida might be one of the best running back pickups this year. Okay, you've gone on all this, gone over all the stuff I would if I was going to counter against him, and I even did it against myself there while talking about the schedule. But what you're doing right there is one of the reasons why I would might lean into this. And that's one of the reasons that you're using to be low on him. I trust even less than college production. You just predicted out there 6 games based on a 2-game camp sample size of what defenses have done. Just to use the Los Angeles Chargers, who was in their upcoming schedule, as you listed out, they faced Kansas City and Buffalo. If you can't think of two wider examples in terms of a range of outcomes in those two teams, what we know on their defense is trash.
So the Chiefs have given up the 6 fewest rush yards, and they have faced Melvin Gordon Chargers, Austin Eckler Chargers, and they face James Conner. So you think that they haven't, I understand that it's a small sample and saying that we don't know anything about these defenses, but I do know about some of these fronts, these front sevens, the Los Angeles Rams. We know how stealthy their defensive line is. I understand that it's a small sample, but I think some of it's predictive and some of it's just stuff that we expected. So I just think
we're more likely to know sooner rather than later if he's going to get those opportunities. And there's a